Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, Christian nationalist patriots. Welcome to the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, coming at you from the free zones. This is the self-funded Radio Free Redoubt. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Fired Up Friday.
Yeah! Yes, Christian crusaders in the fight for Christendom in the West.
Right.
Absolutely. Welcome, everybody, to Fired Up Friday. This Friday, when there is quite a bit to be fired up about, we'll be talking about, well, we've got a bunch lined up.
Boy, don't we ever. Well, and of course, to kick it off, I don't even know how this is even news anymore, because it happens every day. It says here from Disclosed TV, thousands of illegal invaders set to arrive at the U.S. southern border in massive El Paso-bound caravan in just a few days. Well, so what's new? They've never stopped.
Right.
They have never stopped. It has been a constant flow of illegal invaders since January of 2021.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is nothing new.
It has been a long... The border issue has been a problem for a long, long time. In fact, I remember in the late 80s and early 2000s, all the Democrats. I remember Hillary Clinton. I remember Schumer. I remember all these leftists screaming about how we need to secure the border, like it was a really important thing.
Right.
And they've gone 180 on, you know, so many of those positions that they held then. Well, the true Marxist is coming out in them, and now they're just full court press, man, all the way.
That's
all
right.
The way to the destruction of America.
Yep. Yeah, and they're not hiding anything anymore. It's just right out in the open. And, you know, this is where the whole thing of Molon Labe comes in and makes me say, why does everybody keep saying that? You know, come and take it. Because look, they've come and they've taken it.
Yes.
And so what are we going to do about it now? I mean, seriously, they've come and they're not only here taking it, they want our houses too. They want our houses. They're getting paid.
Yes.
You know, like New York is now giving them $53 million to pay all their expenses.
To give them debit cards.
Debit cards.
Yep.
They don't even have to get jobs.
Right.
They don't even have to get jobs.
Right.
They just come here. Oh, and they get free flights anywhere around the country.
Exactly.
All they have to do is go to the airport and say, oh, well, I want to go to Arizona. They get shipped to Arizona for free.
It's the strategic, intentional takedown of America, facilitating an invasion. It's treason.
Yep.
Because more and more of these reports that are coming out now are showing that, in fact, this one where Trump now has pulled more non-white votes into the Republican Party than any other president in 80 years.
Wow.
And you see all these man on the street interviews with Cubans, Mexicans, other Latinos, blacks, and more of them are saying, we don't want Biden. He doesn't represent us. And this open border thing is part of their strategy, because they're losing those votes. And they saw this coming 4 years, 8 years ago. They
right.
saw them losing their grip on the minorities, the racial minorities.
Yep.
And so the only thing they can count on now is minorities from outside the country.
Right.
And those are the people that are waving their finger in the air saying, we love Joe Biden, number one. Yeah, we love him.
Right.
And now they're trying to get those people to vote.
Yep.
So they focus so much on dividing us on every front, you know, rich versus poor, white versus black, I mean, men versus women, upper class versus lower class, the Marxists always tried to divide. And well, now it's not working because their policies are blowing up on in their faces. The minority communities are seeing their own communities being overran by invaders.
Right.
And so they're losing it quickly. So I'm hoping this whole plan of theirs just backfires in such a big way.
Well, me too, because right now at this point, all we have left, I mean, seriously, because with all three executive branches infiltrated, subverted by communist occupation, basically we have lost complete control of this country. I mean, the highest office in the land was stolen in 2020. All of the facilitating branches were taken before then, in all of these fraudulent elections. And so at this point, we have to repent. We have to turn to God and say, this is so big, we can't even do it. Father, we need you. We need you to help this whole ship be turned around, because we can't do it, but you can.
Yep.
And this is why the eclipse, this is why the repent event week, this is why everything is happening the way it is right now, because he's giving us the final warning, saying, if you all Christians, not the enemy, he doesn't ask the enemy to repent. He asks the people that have the country, you know, like he would ask the Israelis, the Jews, to repent.
Right.
He wouldn't ask their invaders to repent.
Right.
And so we have been infiltrated. We've been taken over. We've been invaded. He's not going to ask Joe Biden to repent.
Right.
He's going to ask all of us to repent for letting this happen on our watch, and we've got to do it. We've absolutely got to do it. That's what this week is about.
Well, this message is really striking a chord. We've got we've gotten some awesome correspondence from listeners, and one particular one of our international listeners shared with us a dream that he had that was directly related to this message of the Repent Event Week that we're talking about. And we'll share that with you here in a little bit. But going back to something that you said, you know, Molon Lave, you know, come and take it, is really a Second Amendment gun owner centric slogan that you see, you know, in the American Patriot gun culture.
Right.
And that resonates with me, and I'm all for that. The problem is the Second Amendment is the cornerstone right to protect all of our other rights.
Yep.
Right. But it seems like the guys that are most prone to Molon Lave, come and take it, don't take my guns, you're going to have a fight. And the left knows that. That's the fastest way to spark a fight that they would lose really quick is to immediately try to take all the guns.
Yep.
But the converse side of that is that all of the patriots are satisfied with having all of their rights taken away, chipped away all the way around the Second Amendment.
Yes, that's right.
So when it comes down to the bottom line, all you have left is the Second Amendment, and all of your other rights were taken away without a fight, without a whimper, or barely a whimper. And so now you've got the only thing left to fight for is your Second Amendment rights.
Right.
You know, I'm concerned that many people are okay with that. You can take all my other rights, just don't take my guns. Okay, keep your guns, and now we'll just take all your other rights, and you've got nothing.
Right.
No property rights. We've got rights over your children. You can't. You know, we've got rights over what you can say, how you can go, where you can go.
Oh, and guess what? Welcome to all of your new oppressors and landowners now, because they've all moved here from other nations, and they've just taken everything away from you because, well, you let them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
This is very, very bad news.
It is. Yeah,
for the United States.
And we're at the point where there is no way out of this. There's no political solution, no lasting political solution. You know, obviously we're hoping for Trump and a MAGA, you know, takeover and all that. That's only temporary. That's a Band-Aid on.
Well, even then, we're going to need God to get that accomplished too, because, you know, I mean, if we can even make it to a legitimate election this time. I mean, it will take God.
Putting Trump back in there is going to put a tourniquet on a stage 4 cancer patient.
Yep.
Really. We need to go deeper than that. And that's the soul.
Well, really. We will start there. If God is willing, everything is possible.
Right.
And so if he is willing to, well, if we first, we have to take the first step. That's always how it works with God.
Yes.
You step out there in faith, you step out there in repentance and wholeheartedly repent that he will hear our prayers and pull back our enemies or cause our enemies to be destroyed and cause our enemies to destroy our other enemies, right?
Yeah, let our enemies be destroyed by the traps and the devices that they're putting in place for us.
Right. Well, you know, God is very creative, right? Yeah. You know, no pun intended. But
the
seriously,
is so creative.
Yes. Well, he thinks of the most amazing ways to get rid of all sorts of enemies.
Right.
Right. And especially if his people are willing to just humble themselves and repent. It doesn't take that much.
Right.
And so he's done this on multiple occasions in the Bible.
Yes.
And besides, he laughs at all of our enemies. He laughs at the Chinese. He laughs at every single enemy that could be standing at our doorstep right now. 172 nations, he's going to laugh at them when all he has to do is say a single word and they will all just evaporate, basically.
Laugh at Biden is how God laughs at all of them.
Yep. Absolutely. He laughs at Satan himself. And so, you know, this is our key, and that's what we have to do. And so this letter that you have here to read is remarkable, and you guys are going to love this.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should start off segment 2 with that. And well, did you want to get into the word of the day first?
I just thought that since we were talking about the letter, but that's okay. If you would rather do that, we can do that.
You talked me into it. Here we go. All right. I'll get to the meat of the letter here pertaining to what we're talking about. Hello, my friends. Just finished listening to Wednesday's The Morning Commute, and it was great as always. A couple of quick things. I'll jump right to this. His second item. I have been very much looking forward to this week's Repent event broadcast and have not been disappointed. I dream most nights and usually multiple dreams or multiple dream storylines. Last night, one of the storylines was, I noticed that people I knew were dying. First one or two, and then five or six, and then many at a time. What was going on? Some time passed. I was aware of someone in white walking with me, seemingly having a discussion with someone, although no one was there. I realized that they were talking about me and that the person in white was arguing on my behalf. No, really, he's okay. No, really, is in quotes. The next thing I realized was that I was somewhere else, not where I had been, someplace bare, without features. And the person in white's voice was still present, although not the body, still arguing on my behalf. Suddenly, as if I was awake, I understood that, to use the example from Wednesday's morning commute, what was being argued was whether or not an X should be applied to him. Should he, that is me, be saved? I woke up. It was a sobering moment. Obviously, there is still more repenting that I must do, of course, for my life has been quite sinful. Well, that speaks for all of us. Thank you for this week, and as always, it can't be said enough, thank you for everything that you do. May God continue to bless you both. And just
wow.
awesome, what an impact.
That is,
you know,
that's outstanding. He's in Japan. And
that this discussion is having on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the impact that those kind of testimonies have on us.
Right.
As well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, just the fact that this dream contained whether he was worthy of receiving the mark, the X on his forehead, that just made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. It's so important.
Yes.
You know, that's huge. Those kind of dreams are purposeful. That's like God sending you a direct message. And so, wow. Well, we just want to thank you for sending us that letter and sharing that story with us, because that's profound. That's
yes, it is.
Very amazing.
And I was thinking that that was from Revelation, but it was actually from Ezekiel 9:4. I looked it up. And, of course, I use the New King James Version for most of my stuff. Both of us do.
Yep.
And the Lord said to him, go to an angel, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it.
Wow. Yep.
That is to be, because destruction is coming, and that's what we want to be. We should be at the point where we moan, when we sigh and cry over the abominations that are taking place in our nation, because judge is worthy of judgment. And this is the judgment was to destroy this place, and it was a done deal. But the people who cried and moaned and sighed over all of these abominations, he sent forth an angel to mark all of them with an X to protect them from the destruction and the wrath that was about ready to hit that place.
Isn't that something?
And wow. So this is, obviously that's talking about a specific event and a time and a place, but it is a principle, a biblical principle that we could pray for, hope for, that right. He would grant us that kind of
yep.
mercy.
Right.
Because of our, you know, we need to rend our hearts because of what's coming. It's going to be earth shattering, and right. maybe literally.
Right.
So,
well, and especially that in his dream, it said, if he is worthy, right? Because that is what Jesus yeah. told us all to pray that we be found worthy.
That's right.
To not have to go through the great tribulation. And yep. so, you know, that, like we've said so many times, that's a qualifier. That's a qualifying statement right there. That's right. that means some are not going to be worthy. And so, you know, that's what this whole thing of repenting is about. You know, we want this nation to be turned around by God. We want God to be at the helm of this nation, be returned to the helm of this nation yeah. again, where he rightfully ought to be. And yep. so, you know, speaking of that, that also leads directly into the word of the day that we're covering for today to end the repent event week, because we're ending it with the synopsis between Ezra 9 and 10, because we had addressed that it's not just enough that we just repent a little bit. There's actually a procedure that Ezra used that is more has more weight to it mm-hmm. than just repentance. And this is what my book 444 was based on.
Yeah.
When I prayed to the Lord and I asked him what to do to fix this nation in 2021.
Yep.
And this is exactly the random turning. The random turning was Ezra 9 and 10. And so when I turned to that and read Ezra 9, you and I were we were driving somewhere and I was reading that. And when I read it, we were both just like blown away. Our jaws dropped open, like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what, you know, what would work.
Yes.
And so this is the weighty solution that we all need to think about right now. And so the word of the day for Fired Up Friday
yeah!
comes to us from parts of Ezra 9 and all of Ezra 10. Hmm. And so the first part in Ezra 9 are just a couple verses that I picked out, because what's happening in 9, to save time for our listeners, it says that Ezra's initial joy at the return of the Jews back to the land is quickly marred when he hears that those who returned under Zerubbabel have disobeyed God's basic commandments. And his response of grief reinforces his serious devotion to God. And so it says here, So when I heard this thing, I tore my garment and my robe and plucked out some of the hair of my head and beard and sat down astonished. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel assembled to me because of the transgression of those who had been carried away captive, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. At the evening sacrifice, I arose from my fasting, and having torn my garment and my robe, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God, and I said, "Oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens." And so the notes describe that Ezra is concerned that Israel is repeating the sin pattern that had taken her into captivity less than 100 years earlier.
Yep.
And he says in verse 10, he says, "And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments." And this right there is what God warned about in Deuteronomy 28 that we've just been reading this whole week, that if you keep my commandments and walk in my ways, you will be blessed. And if you don't, you will be cursed.
Yep.
And so keep that in mind as I'm reading the next couple verses, because you're going to hear Deuteronomy 28 spoken of in the next few verses. It reads, "Which you commanded by your servants, the prophets, saying, 'The land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land, with the uncleanness of the peoples of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another, with their impurity. Now, therefore, do not give your daughters as wives for their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons, and never seek their peace or prosperity, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it as an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, since you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve and have given us such deliverance as this, should we again break your commandments and join in marriage with the people committing these abominations? Would you not be angry with us until you had consumed us so that there would be no remnant or survivor? O Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, for we are left as a remnant as it is this day. Here we are before you in our guilt, though no one can stand before you because of this." And then this is where this turns into the solution, the comprehensive solution. And it reads, "Now while Ezra was praying and while he was confessing, weeping and bowing down before the house of God, a very large assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him from Israel, for the people wept very bitterly. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, spoke up and said to Ezra, 'We have trespassed against our God and have taken pagan wives from the peoples of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel in spite of this. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all these wives and those who have been born to them, according to the advice of my master and those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter is your responsibility. We also are with you. Be of good courage and do it.' Then Ezra arose and made the leaders of the priests, the Levites, and all Israel swear an oath that they would do according to this word. So they swore an oath. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Jehohanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came there, he ate no bread and drank no water, for he mourned because of the guilt of those from the captivity. And they issued a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to all the descendants of the captivity that they must gather at Jerusalem, and that whoever would not come within 3 days, according to the instructions of the leaders and the elders, all his property would be confiscated and he himself would be separated from the assembly of those from the captivity. So all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered at Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th of the month, and all the people sat in the open square of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and because of heavy rain. Then Ezra, the priest, stood up and said to them, 'You have transgressed and have taken pagan wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now therefore make confession to the Lord God of your fathers and do his will. Separate yourselves from the peoples of this land and from the pagan wives.' Then all the assembly answered and said with a loud voice, "Yes, as you have said, so we must do. But there are many people. It is the season for heavy rain, and we are not able to stand outside. Nor is this the work of 1 or 2 days, for there are many of us who have transgressed in this matter. Please let the leaders of our entire assembly stand, and let all those in our cities who have taken pagan wives come at appointed times, together with the elders and judges of their cities, until the fierce wrath of our God is turned away from us in this matter. Only Jonathan, the son of Asahel, and Jehaziah, the son of Tivka, opposed this, and Meshulam, and Shebathai, and Levite gave them support. Then the descendants of the captivity did so, and Ezra the priest, with certain heads of the fathers' households, were set apart by the fathers' households, each of them by name, and they sat down on the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. Now the first day of the 1st month they finished questioning all the men who had taken pagan wives, and among the sons of the priests who had taken pagan wives, the following were found of the sons of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brothers, and Jozadak and his brothers, Maaseiah, Eleazar, Jerib, and Gedaliah, and they gave their promises that they would put away their wives, and being guilty, they presented a ram of the flock as their trespass offering, and that's it. And
wow, it's kind of a long one.
It is.
There's a lot involved there, though.
Right, because this is the repentance that they did. They all the judges. It was the leaders of the entire assembly, the judges and the elders, as well as the priests and all the people that own land. They all joined together in this recommitment to God and the law.
Yes.
And the modern day version of this thing of putting away pagan wives could easily be likened to putting away communists, because paganism is anti-God. Communism yeah. is anti-God, and both have the same origin with the same demonic influence, right?
And well, so, I was just going to say that this is not putting away your wife because she's a pagan, because she, I don't know, chants something around a tree or has her palms read. The pagan religions then were the same principalities that we're seeing come today.
That's right.
They were literally having sex with children as part of sexual or religious rites.
Yep.
They were sacrificing children to Moloch, placing your toddler on the arms of a molten metal, burning fired yep. metal god, and burning them to death. Yep. I mean, this is the kind of, and this reached even the priests or the people working in the temple were participating in this kind of thing.
That's right.
And so these paganistic, you know, it's not just paganism, like, oh, you worship the earth and you pray to the sun god and the wind god and the god for
which is
the
bad rain. As well, but
right, but it all leads into these type of practices, and exactly what we're seeing today,
right,
in our own country,
yep,
where we're turning our children over to this Moloch and Ashtoreth.
Yep.
So, and how interesting, we're coming up on Easter, you know, Ishtar.
That's right.
weekend.
The pagan holiday.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's that's the whole point of this, is that understanding the depth of their sin, the depravity that caused them all to be cast out of Israel in the first place.
Yeah.
And so their recommitment to the Lord and his law is essentially what we can do here in America as right. well. We can decide to have these Ezra events with people in our churches, people in local government. We can decide that we're going to hold a public meeting. We're going to hold a public meeting on Ezra 9 and 10 that we can all repent together, and we can all pray that God saves this nation and recommit right. to him. And whether the entire nation does or not, at least we have, and we have pulled together other people in our community and have made a commitment amongst ourselves that we will be one nation under God. And however many of us that ends up being is however many that ends up being. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah.
And again, God isn't expecting our enemies to repent. He's expecting us to. And so that's kind of where we wanted to wrap this up for Repent Event Week.
Yes. And you'll notice in Ezra, he was not just going addressing the people, but the people at the top,
yes,
in the government, at the temple,
yep,
the people that of all people should have preserved themselves against this.
Yep, the elders and the judges and the priests.
Right, the leadership.
Yep.
Right, they're all corrupt.
Yep, that's right.
And you know that, what was it, Ezekiel chapter 9, 4, you know, yes, placing the mark on the forehead. Something very interesting too. Did you guys get a twofer, a bonus scripture today? Because read Ezekiel 9, read the whole chapter of Ezekiel 9. Once again, it's the leadership. Remember the people that, yep, he crossed with the don't harm them? This is what he said. As I listened, he said to the others, the angels that were being ordered to go in and slaughter, right? Follow him through the city and start killing. Do not show pity or spare anyone. Slaughter the old men, the young men, the maidens, the women and children, but do not go near anyone who has the mark. Now, begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple.
Wow.
The leadership.
Wow.
The leadership that were thoroughly corrupt.
Yep.
Involved in all of this depravity that we are seeing today.
Right.
Start at the top. And these were orders given to angels to, yep, go through and slaughter them all, because all of them were caught up in it. They were, yep, all engaged, except for the people who weren't. He spared them.
Wow.
Then we're asking to be spared. We want judgment to be averted. But if it can't be, if this nation won't repent, that those of us who are crying and mourning for our country because of these abominations, they would at least mark us and protect us from what's coming.
That's right. We prefer that the whole nation repents and turns back from, yes, their wickedness. But if that doesn't happen, well, yeah, like we're saying, do what you can. You know, we cannot do it all. We can only do what we can, and then we turn all the rest over to God.
That's right.
Yep.
Amen to that. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a break here, and we'll do another 45-minute show. You guys are getting an extra treat, extra special treatment there with some longer shows than usual. But once again, timely and just great content. So thank you for that. And that was Ezra
chapter 9 and 10, all of chapter 10 and parts of chapter 9.
There you go. There's your reading for today. Well, actually, for the weekend.
Yes, right.
Now, yep, give you plenty of time to read up. So, okay, well, stick around. This segment brought to you by JesusAppears.com, helping you to get ready for the return of our King so you don't miss out on that, and learn what that means, what that means to you. And the website, once again, is JesusAppears.com. We'll be back with segment two of the Morning Commute right after this. Stay there, Patriots.
People wonder, how can a communist look you in the eye and tell one barefaced lie after another with a straight face?
Every day between now and November, the American people are going to know that the only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican friends.
Since it is their sworn duty to tell us whatever will best serve their cause, we should always suspect they are lying.
Folks, we've got to move past this toxic politics. That the only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican friends.
Lying is one of their best tools for playing dirty. Dirty, mean, despicable, ruthless.
I'm Renee Holiday. I'm announcing my candidacy for Congress for District 5 in Eastern Washington as a strong conservative Christian MAGA Republican. We are currently in an existential crisis in America because of weak leadership who have failed to place God first over this nation. They have also failed to keep their oaths of office to uphold and defend the Constitution and the rights of the individual. They have failed to secure our elections and have opened our border to an invasion from over 172 countries. America has never been more vulnerable to attack than we are now. I'm running because Eastern Washington needs a rep with some spine that can stand up to this lawless regime and help bring America back under the safety of our Constitution by securing our elections and closing our border. I have already written the congressional bill to do just that and have been publicly pushing it for the past year. Eastern Washington needs a fighter with a record of being effective in fighting the globalists, and that fighter is me. I have been fighting the globalists for 18 straight years and have written 2 books about it. Eastern Washington needs an effective fighter in D.C., and that fighter is me, Renee Holiday. I need your vote on August 6th, but I need your support right now to kick off my campaign. I'm running to win and to take America back, and I can only do this with your support. Let's get it done together. So you can go to my campaign website at ReneeHolidayForCongress.com. It's spelled ReneeHoladay forCongress.com.
This ad paid for by the Committee to Elect Renee Holiday, Washington Congressional District 5. Welcome back to segment 2 of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. I'm John Jacob Schmidt from Radio Free Redoubt. Lady Liberty here from the Political Church and Liberty State Radio, joining forces with my bride and on mission in this these times that we're in. Pretty amazing journey, to say the least. This segment brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. And that website is prepping2-0.com. Lady Liberty, segment 2.
That's right, everyone. Welcome back to Fired Up Friday.
Yeah!
Well, this certainly ought to fire you up as well. It is not just the people in America that are highly concerned about what this eclipse on the 8th means. Yeah. If you think it's just us, think again. CERN, C-E-R-N, the Hadron Collider, is geared to start back up during the eclipse.
Yeah, they're timing it for that.
For the eclipse.
What could go wrong?
Listen to this clip and what they have to say.
Scientists working at the Large Hadron Collider, operated by CERN, have made public the anticipated scheduling of the initial interactions between proton beams on April 8th, following the completion of all machine assessments and adjustments. Subsequently, the substantial experiments carried out by CERN, which entail the collision of proton particles, will be able to recommence their scientific activities for data collection and analysis. Many individuals within the realm of social media have brought attention to the forthcoming total solar eclipse scheduled to occur on Monday, April 8th, 2024. This celestial event is projected to traverse North America, making its passage over countries such as Mexico, the United States, and Canada. The initial phase of the total solar eclipse is set to commence above the South Pacific Ocean. In the event of favorable weather conditions, the point of first contact with totality on the North American continent is predicted to be along Mexico's Pacific coastline, occurring at approximately 11 in the morning. Numerous individuals have commented concerns regarding the potential negative outcomes, suggesting that scientists may be overstepping their bounds by engaging in these experimental pursuits, likening it to playing the role of a deity. In the sphere of speculative science fiction and theoretical physics, the intriguing concept of accessing a portal using the Large Hadron Collider has sparked the interest of numerous enthusiasts. Various hypotheses suggest that the immense energies released during particle collisions within the Large Hadron Collider might potentially lead to the formation of subatomic black holes or wormholes, which are transient phenomena with the potential to act as gateways to alternate dimensions or parallel universes.
Well, like I said, what What could possibly go wrong?
Right? Jeez. Oh, geez. Yeah, particle-sized black holes that, you know,
You know, that facility, that CERN facility, when they had their big grand opening, it was a massive pagan, ritualistic, choreographed production. It was incredible. If you haven't seen videos of that, it was just
They're
bizarre.
Their what would you call it? Their mascot? Their mascot is Shiva, the god Shiva, the goddess, that's this fake god.
Right.
Shiva is the god of destruction.
Right.
And so, you know, let's just start there, right? And as if that's not bad enough. Yeah, I just pulled up this article on them that it says that, well, gee, CERN is all about environmental sustainability.
Oh, wow. Doesn't seem very sustainable to start opening up wormholes and gateways and portals to alternate dimensions.
Right, right. Exactly. It says, this is how you know that they're following the satanic lead. Is anybody that supports this garbage, they're following the satanic lead, because this is a Satan-led initiative anyway. This whole sustainable development pile of garbage, that's satanic-led. Yeah. And it says here, minimizing the environmental impact of particle physics activities and ensuring their sustainability and energy efficiency is one of the key recommendations in the last update of the European Strategy for Particle Physics. And so,
goodness.
How can you be a particle physicist, a nuclear physicist, heading out there, leading the world in nuclear physics, and be dumb enough to fall for that?
Because that's the wording they have to include in there when they're filing for grants.
Right.
That's exactly why.
Right. Well, you know, but don't give them too much credit, because Shiva's out front.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, this is who they're following to begin with.
Yeah.
Weird.
You know, and isn't it interesting also that we're seeing in the last couple of years, all of this official top government level reports on extraterrestrial, you know, unexplained other life forms and everything else, you know, from outer space. It's not from outer space. This is the alternate dimension. These are interdimensional beings. This
right.
It's demonic.
Yep.
And they're right there, like on the other side of a thin veil from us. They're not from another solar system.
Exactly.
Yep. And
They're able to put thoughts into our head. I mean, it's described in the Bible. It happened to David. It happened to Judas. So clearly the satanic realm has full access to our thoughts and presenting thoughts that most people can't even distinguish as not being their own.
Well, it's probably where a lot of our technologies come from.
That's right.
Whatever made you think of doing that? I don't know. I put all these chemicals together. Let's call it cocaine. I mean, you know, I mean, some of this incredible developments, how does somebody just come up with some of these ideas? You know, it's just,
right. Yeah, it's well, definitely influences. That was what was documented in the early books of Genesis, was that, the satanic, the fallen angels are the ones that gave most of the technology, you know, metallurgy and whatnot. And that was documented in the book of Enoch. And of course, Peter and several of the other disciples of Jesus referenced the book of Enoch as well.
Yeah, there was a pretty common knowledge among all of them.
Yep.
You know, been kind of squeezed out since then.
Right.
But very interesting reading. Well, okay. Well, thank you for that. We are out of time and we went a little bit long, but fascinating stuff. More tampering with the supernatural and metaphysical and, well, whatever you want, paranormal stuff. They're messing with some stuff that they ought not to be.
That's for sure.
So, but anyway, our job is to make sure we focus on him, not to be living in a spirit of fear.
Right.
He has already overcome the world and we're with him. And so that is exciting. But, a lot of people today are going to have questions, they have concerns, and we can bring the good news to them, the gospel, and they don't have to. He gave us a way out for a lot of this ugliness that's coming.
Right.
So Make sure you share that. And share The Morning Commute with your like-minded friends and family. We're on Telegram, The Morning Commute. And, of course, all of our shows are archived at Podbean, radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com. So spread the word. And thank you guys for being out there. You have a blessed and a safe weekend. And you just be restful. Celebrating the resurrection of our King. Many of you, we're looking forward to Passover.
That's right.
Too, in a couple of weeks. So anyway, yeah, have a blessed weekend. Join us at 7 a.m. Monday morning Pacific time right here.
That's right. You all have a fantastic Fired Up Friday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.